Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
On Thursday, or just after, and it's time to meet your maker. I'm your host, Rachel Wharton. I am joined by my co-host and theme song creator, John Taggart.
Hello, hello, John. How you doing?
Today we are joined by, oh my God, we have a special guest with multiple personalities. Joining us is Larry Wellington Caldwell III. He is a culinary expert, a lifestyle expert, and what we believe is the first food porn star. He's also the alter ego of writer and actor Charles Grantham, who will be joining us later. Hello, Larry.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, especially ladies.
Before we get started, I thought it'd be fun to play a clip. This is an ongoing series that you do by the fireside.
Yes, it's called By the Fireside with Larry, and it's really America's chance to get to know me in a much more intimate way.
How long have you been doing it?
Well, actually, we've been doing By the Fireside for about 1 year, and we've shot a number of other episodes, but there's only one in existence right now. But
that's the Zima. That's the Zima cocktail, which is genius.
The Zimlet.
The Zimlet. So tell me how. Okay, because I believe that you can only get that in Japan. They no longer make it in the United States.
That is correct. I have my very own Zima mule. His name's Keizo Shimamoto. He is the, for lack of a better word, the proprietor of a ramen shop in Japan and boss of the blog Go Ramen. And every time he comes to America, he brings me Zima.
That's amazing.
So I believe that I probably have America's largest collection of Zima. I think that's not an exaggeration.
All right.
How many bottles do you have?
I have even two would be the largest collection. Well, I have five bottles of Zima regular and one bottle of Zima Gold, I've never had before.
Yeah. You have to create a custom cocktail for the Zima Gold, right?
That's true. Except
part two.
I'm nervous to open it because it's the only one I have. So it's like, you know, that special bottle of wine.
Oh, that is terrible.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to have to get some more Zima Gold.
You have to get more Zima Gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe you can figure out something here in the States that's similar. Get a similar flavor profile to do some research on.
Well, you know, my dream is to do a malt beverage tasting with the New York Times, where we like taste Zima and Smirnoff Ice and like Tequiza. I don't know if they make Tequiza anymore.
I think they do. There's this great dive bar in Philadelphia where instead of having a real walk-in cooler, they have a refrigerator.
What bar is
I can't
this?
Remember the name of it, but it's like the kind with the sag. This is a total haunt, like Larry Reddy haunt. It's got a sagging drop ceiling with like water stains.
Sold.
And a really moldy carpet.
Does it have mattresses?
No, but it has like really nice, like total soul, like soul and jazz bands play, and they're awesome. But they have a real, like a regular old refrigerator like you'd have at your house. And inside is nothing but malt liquor. Tequiza, that's the last time I saw that drink was in this, like in this. They have like a walk-in, like I'm sure they had Zima in there. Oh, but speaking of Zima, we've got to play this clip because the Zimlet was like, the Zimlet, like when I first saw this, I was immediately enchanted with the Zimlet, and I've wanted to try one ever since.
Get the clip going.
Okay, let's see how it goes here. YouTube, bear with us.
You know, I wish I'd known. I could have made you a Zimlet. Did you get to try it at the...
No, because I was in Italy during your...
That's such a shame.
Your film preview, your porn... I believe an entire event was around you. Hold on, let's check this out.
It was the food...
Here we go. Shh. A moment of silence. Two.
Oh, hi. I didn't see you there. I was just sitting here by the fireside in my snug wow, enjoying this delicious Zima-based libation. By the way, welcome to By the Fireside with Larry. This is a part of my show where you'll get to know me in a much more intimate way. I'll share with you my thoughts on notable Americans like
Anton Scalia and Rachel Ray. And most importantly, I'll share with you my recipes for delicious libations like this, the Zimlet. The Zimlet is probably the most erotic drink I've ever invented. A mere drop of it, when it touches a woman's lips, will instantly make her come in her panties. It starts with 1 ounce of lemon and thyme infused vodka. Then, 1/2 ounce of agave nectar and 1/2 ounce of lime juice. And then, like a baby that won't stop crying, I give it a good shake. Stop crying, baby! I pour it into a rocks glass and top it off with a splash of refreshing Zima. I hope you've enjoyed this delicious libation as much as I have. But before I go, there's something else you should know about me. I'm also an avid poet, and this is a poem I've written for you. It's entitled Haiku for the Japanese Leaves of Summer. The leaves in the mountains with the koalas. They are falling through the koi pond. Down, down, down to the Hades. Yes, indeed, the Hades. Deep dark, into my soul so deep. Where are all the koi? They're lost, just like the children.
It really speaks for itself. I believe that's it's a masterpiece.
Thank
Did you.
You
win the it appeared at the Food Film Festival. Oh, I think that they had created an entire evening just around your work, the food porn film. It was like a night of just food porn.
Yes.
Which, did you get to MC?
I wasn't exactly the MC, but I was certainly a special guest, and I got to wear my snug while around and also participate in a little food burlesque as well.
Well, was that which another one of your? I've seen another one of your short films, which is kind of food burlesque.
Yes,
I want to play that one too. But it's like she's feeding you these incredible chocolates, and I think, is that available on YouTube?
Yes, they're both available on Larry Caldwell's YouTube channel,
and some of it makes its way into your mouth.
Yeah, like some of it makes its way into other places.
Yeah. So tell me about the ShamWow.
The SnugWow.
The SnugWow.
So
this is the ShamWow, like the version of that I would use to clean my glasses.
Yes, well, the SnugWow is probably one of my greatest inventions, and it's a combination of Snuggie and ShamWow. I thought, how can you improve on something as perfect as the Snuggie? I thought, if only it was made out of those ShamWows. And so I combine the two to make something that keeps you warm and that you can read with easily. But if you spill a beer on yourself, it's no big deal because it just absorbs it.
So this is what you wear during all of your appearances?
Very often. Very often. Occasionally I also wear some cutoff shorts in the summertime, which is really popular, but it's a little cold this time of year for that.
Really popular with your fans.
Even people who don't like me still can't resist my legs and the cutoff shorts. They just say, "Wow."
So when you define yourself and your career, you tend to talk about yourself as a culinary and lifestyle expert. Is food porn a label that people have attached to you, or do you can actually consider that part of what you do?
You know, I always thought of myself first as a culinary and expert ladies' man, you know, master of all trades. But people have taken to calling me a food porn star, and I'm okay with that. I think that's sexy, and, you know, honestly, a lot of what I do is that, so.
Is food porn.
Yes, and starring in it.
Yes. And then these are films, are you also a producer, director, writer?
Well, I'm not personally, but the fellow Charles Grantham, who's not nearly as handsome as I am, is the guy who writes and directs and...
You, in these pieces.
Yes, that's correct.
Don't take offense, Charles.
So what was I going to ask? So by the fireside is that's what that's like you're wanting to give your advice, what you know about love and life and living well to your fans.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's also specifically focused on delicious libations.
Libations.
You know, nightcaps, uh-huh. drinks that you might make for a special occasion.
Uh-huh.
But it also features my pithy wisdom and
right in your poetry.
Yes, my wonderful haikus.
So, Larry, where did you grow up? How did you come to be?
I grew up in Putnam County, New York, uh-huh. and I'm just going to put this out there, but I'm the Putnam County under 12 karate champion from 1992. So, if anyone wants to mess with me, you better think twice.
That's fantastic.
And especially anyone under the age of 12.
That's also true. I could definitely beat up most 12-year-olds.
Were you obsessed with the Karate Kid?
Yeah, except that I was kind of always like, he's not good enough at karate.
Right.
I was like...
Yeah, you got mad at that.
He actually kind of... I mean, his robe is not that different from your... What is it? Not the ShamWow. I'll never...
Snugwow.
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 It actually looks like a little bit like a Snugwow, like, except less comforting.
Oh, no. This is very comforting. Do you want to try it on?
I actually want to touch it.
Yeah, it's pretty warm, so...
It's ridiculous.
It's really soft. It's soft like a puppy.
How much... I can only imagine, like...
How many ShamWells is that?
I thought you need to make a pair of little short cut-off shorts out of the same material.
Oh wow, that is a good idea.
Yeah, I totally.
I know what I'm doing for my Christmas present myself.
Do they still make the ShamWells, right?
Yes, they do. Yeah. I bought those on eBay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and then you had to stitch them together.
Yes, I actually paid someone to stitch it together.
God, now, amazing. Did you? Because I know there's two different colors there.
Just
that's for flair.
I thought ShamWow was all one color.
No. It turns out that ShamWows, you're welcome for the ShamWow. ShamWows come in two different sizes. Orange is big, and purplish violet is smaller.
Uh-huh.
So
is that what this is? Purplish violet?
Yeah. Am I colorblind? Is that
purplish violet? Yeah.
Yeah, it's purplish violet.
I guess it's blue. To me, it looks blue.
Yeah, it's kind of blue. It's more bluish.
So this you can also use. This can mop up spills from delicious libations or women coming in their panties while you're making the drink.
That's true, and both of those panties are guaranteed to happen if you make a Zimlet.
Panties is one of those words that really gets me. I rarely get a chance to say it on this show either. So I'm thank you for that, Larry.
What's the drink again with the Zima? I'm glad we didn't have that.
Oh, the Zimlet.
The Zimlet.
Oh yeah. What are some of your other specialties?
I'm working on a whole line of Zima-based drinks. The next one I'm working on is the Zim Margarita,
uh-huh.
which is a Zima-based margarita.
Uh-huh.
But you know,
what was the tequila one?
The Zim Margarita?
No. The drink that
the
you wanted.
Tequiza.
That seems like a natural choice for a margarita.
That's really true. Although I'm not sure if I haven't seen it for a while, so I'm worried that it may not be available.
We should look. We should look.
We
on,
should really
go buy
look.
Some on because that's kind of stuff you find on eBay all the time.
Yeah.
You can find anything on eBay.
Yes, probably even one of these. Perhaps even some of your fans' panties.
Wait, so I'm pretty sure those get sold more on Craigslist.
So does each one of your fireside chats, there's a drink, there's a how-to, there's a little bit of poetry. Is it always by the fire?
Well, not everything.
Where is that fireplace?
That fireplace is at Larry's parents' house.
where's Larry's parents' house?
Larry's parents' house. Larry's parents live in New Jersey.
Larry's parents let him film those sequences at their house. Did they know about these?
It's perhaps Larry's parents go on vacation sometimes.
Right.
And things happen
and
while they're not there.
And gets filmed in
exactly.
there.
They don't need to know about everything.
Plus
that
with
happens.
With the sham, I can't. With the ShamWow.
Snugwow.
Snugwow. Snugwow. They'll never know what happened.
That's true. It'll clean anything.
So we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna hear from Charles.
Yeah.
This is Meet Your Maker.
Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit www.surifarms.com.
Welcome back to Meet Your Maker. In the first half of the show, we met Larry Wellington Caldwell III, who, as his creator puts it, is a larger-than-life mustachioed culinary expert and the world's first food porn star. Now we're going to hear from his creator, the writer, actor, and he's going to tell me actually more about what he does, Charles Grantham. Hi, Charles.
Hey, nice to meet you.
First tell us about the before Larry left. He brought us some of his sweet salty nuts. So tell me a little about that. Is that the subject of one of the fireside chats?
Actually, I helped Larry shoot a Christmas episode last year where he shared his recipe for sweet and salty nuts,
which is basically a vehicle for which you get to say, "Please put them in your mouth." Which is just genius.
Yes, that's true. Basically, Larry's goal was to get the entire world to put his nuts. In other people's mouths.
Wait, so tell me a little bit about what you do and how you came to create the character of Larry Caldwell.
So I'm a freelance filmmaker, and I went to school for acting, and I really love food, uh-huh, and the food world, and I love restaurants and I love cooking, and.
Based on Larry's tastes, you have a special fondness for where highbrow meets lowbrow, I think.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Actually, speaking of that, one of the other segments we have, which is a good combination of highbrow meets lowbrow, is this is the one we've shot the most episodes of. Unfortunately, we shoot way more than I edit everything, so I'm pretty bad at editing stuff.
Right.
But we have a segment called Larry Reviews the World's Best Restaurants Bathrooms.
Oh, and so, how does he do that? Does he actually go, or does he just look at their pictures on Flickr?
Oh, no.
Flickr?
We go to, I think we've done Per Se, we've done Jean Georges, we've done Maison Trois Gras in France. I'm trying to think where else we've done. I mean, we've done a number of three-star Michelin restaurants. And what we do is we go into the restaurant and we eat a nice, very expensive dinner, of course. And
you get to write it off this way.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. It's a giant tax deduction. But we videotape the meal we eat, as bloggers do. But then I go into the bathroom for 15 minutes and do a video review of each restaurant's bathroom the same way that food reviewers do reviews of the actual food there. So we rate them on cleanliness.
You do them in the actual bathrooms?
Well, we
while you're there?
Well, we film awesome. We film the bathroom, and then afterwards we kind of tally up the score.
Oh my God, it would be absolutely hilarious if you were in there. If Larry was there dressed in his amazing sham wow, I can't ever get it right. And then someone walked in and you guys were in there shooting that. That would be awesome. You got to do that at least once.
One of the goals is, because I love food so much, one of the goals is to not get banned from the restaurants for life.
Right. Does that mean you have to say positive things about their bathrooms?
I mean, we give pretty good reviews, but we're not good reviews. We give honest reviews. For instance, I'll go right out there and tell you that of the three Michelin star restaurants we've visited, Jean Georges has been by far the worst. It's
the bathroom?
Yeah, 13 out of 20 rolls of toilet paper we gave it. Whereas Per Se got 18. Maison Trois Gras got, I think we gave that 17. We did Alan Wong's in Honolulu.
So Larry has multiple shows.
Yes.
Right. You need the Larry Channel. And when did you get the idea to create his character?
So we were originally, my friends and I from theater school, we'd actually shot a bunch of short films and stuff. And I had the idea. Originally, what I wanted to do was a sketch comedy show of fake celebrities doing cooking shows. So it'd be like Owen Wilson makes you pot brownies, whatever. And then we just decided
that should just actually exist.
We decided for us that would cost way too much to film. And so I had just come up with this character named Larry Caldwell, who was originally supposed to be this kind of this guy who thinks he's really smart and really classy and just
isn't.
But he kind of is.
Yeah, it's he's got good taste. Right. He goes to good restaurants. Uh-huh.
And he just grins during the entire time. Yeah.
The fact that he knows a little bit about food
uh-huh.
makes him think that he knows a lot about everything.
Right.
Which he doesn't know a lot about everything, but he does know about food and making stuff and cooking and things like
that. Have you learned about food doing these segments? You actually had to create a Zima drink. Did that take some time?
Yes, actually it was although you know what? For that one, it was pretty easy because I figured, Zima's pretty mild tasting. It's basically like alcoholic Sprite.
Yeah.
So I figured that, it's kind of citrusy. So naturally, we thought that it would go with something like a sweeter kind of like Gimlet. And the Zimlet's basically like a vodka limeade.
Right. You made them.
Yeah, we made them with authentic Zima.
Right.
Maybe in the future, if you invite Larry back, he will make you guys Zimlets.
That'd
in the
be awesome. I kind of think Larry needs his own radio show. I think
I'm sure Larry would be thrilled with that.
I could actually seriously see Larry's cooking show or drink show on an actual food channel. Yeah,
we need to connect Larry with Matt Timms.
Matt actually was probably at the Food Film Festival. Matt is a friend of mine who hosts the takedowns or cooking competitions.
Oh,
and
yes.
I'm sure he's got curly hair.
I don't think I've met him, but I know.
I could totally see you walking around his event with cocktails. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, so that would be
a great collaboration.
Yes. Matt would have to pay you, of course. That would be the hard part.
Honestly, I'm pretty sure that Larry is pretty much up for anything, anytime. So
that would be awesome.
He could probably pay Larry with Zima, which is actually really tough to get. Zima and free food. But
it is tough to get, right?
They only sell it in Japan. So
and this was it the same guy? Was it the same guy who brought? Did he bring the ones over for the Food Film Festival? Or do they have? Wasn't there a Japanese filmmaker who brought all that stuff for you that
yes,
time?
Yes, that's Keizo.
Keizo.
He's a ramen chef from Japan, and there was a film about him at the festival. And George and Seth, the festival guys, they called him up and were like, Keizo, we need you to bring some Zima.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, all right.
All right. And he brought two cases or something?
No, he actually didn't bring that much for the festival, but when he came back for the Chicago Food Film
Festival. Oh, right.
Brought me more of that.
So for the bathrooms, you have to go to a fancy restaurant. And then for the drinks, you have to come up with drinks each time you do one.
Yes.
And then you have to develop a backstory for the drink and write a poem to go with it.
Yeah. Well, actually, believe it or not, the poems are the only thing that's not scripted.
Oh, really? You make them up on the fly?
We just make them up on the fly.
Really?
Yes. But unfortunately, when we first started filming these things, we found out that it was really... it's really difficult to improvise Larry's stuff uh-huh. and cook at the same time. So the first couple things we shot...
Is he actually cooking when he's doing the poetry?
He's not when he's doing the poetry.
Right.
But when we were doing demonstrations, uh-huh. we're, kind of pour and stir things.
But you have to pay attention to it.
Yeah. It turned out it was really tough to improvise as Larry and cook at the same time. So we decided that we actually had to... It's like a... legit script, and then the poetry because there's nothing to be demonstrated or explained.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
there's no kind of marks you have to hit where this has to happen, this has to happen, this has to happen.
Who makes your porn music?
Good question.
Believe it or not, huh? I think that's an iTunes. I'm pretty sure it's either from iTunes or
it's royalty free.
Yeah, it's
nice.
Either that or that's one. That one's royalty free, mm-hmm. and then the music from Food Porn. I bought from a royalty-free music site that was 99 cents for the song. It took a long time to find it. Ideally, we'd have some music commissioned, but
Food Porn is the name of the short where you're being fed all this chocolate stuff and it goes everywhere.
Yes, yes.
So is that just a one-off for Larry, or is that going to be a sequence of?
Well, I don't think we're going to title them Food Porn, uh-huh. kind of like 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's not terrible.
But I've actually already been thinking about one that I'd like to make and submit to next year's Food Film Festival.
Uh-huh.
Right now the tentative title is Fondue.
I think you should submit the bathroom reviews to the James Beard Awards this year.
I'll send that in. I was thinking. I thought
there's not much competition in a couple of the categories are new, particularly anything online or video, and I feel like you would totally destroy.
I'm just gonna send
CBS
every single video that Larry's ever. I'm just gonna be like, yeah, I'll look into that. Larry would both love James Beard.
I think that would be awesome.
Mostly so we could go to the awards in a snug wow.
The journalism awards, which is what they're because I've been to them. You basically get like shunted off into some like event space. Like the real awards are in, of course, like Lincoln, whatever, Avery Fisher Hall, and those are really fun. Everybody wears like a tuxedo and like the journalism
or a snug wow.
Yes, you should cover the Beard Awards no matter what. Larry should apply. I feel like Larry should become a player in the New York City food scene. For starters,
I support you.
Yes. So for starters, you should apply for press credentials because the press room is actually the most fun place to be during the Beard Awards because we get to like drink all night. Everyone else is in the seat watching the thing, and for some reason they decide it's a great idea to have free booze for the press room, which I think is totally awesome.
That sounds amazing.
And so you could cover it as Larry. And you probably, it'd probably be like way, because like it's the most boring thing on the planet, pretty much, like any other coverage of it. So that'd be great. Seriously. And then you should cover the beer, but the journalism awards, like they, like it's like the real deal is like
Avery
Fisher Hall.
Yeah, the best new chef of like, you know.
Yeah, and there's literally a red carpet and like people like, John is actually a photographer for the Daily News and like people like him have to go cover it. And then the journalism awards are like some crappy event space, like practically in the Hudson River the night before. And it's like the most, and it's like, it's like a catered dinner. It's like, it's the worst thing ever.
Having
I shouldn't
not
say that. Sorry,
them.
James Beard Awards. But no, but I mean, it's
I
just really funny.
All the same thing.
My point is that like, the journalists are still like way down on the bottom of the totem pole. It's actually a really lovely meal, but it is really funny how it's like, the rest of the awards, it's like you have to wear a tux and there's like celebrities and for the people who are writing the stuff.
James Beard Award is like, dear diary, don't invite Rachel. P.S. Buy more pens.
I feel really bad. But I've always thought the journalism awards were really funny because it's like, hey, you're like it's like, oh god, it's so funny. Oh gosh, back to Larry. Is most of your body of work that like as you as an actor are you always funny? Is that what you do, or is Larry a break from tradition?
I would say actually since I've started doing Larry, I've been doing more. Funny stuff, but I've done like a pre. I actually did a feature called "Everything's Coming Up Pink." I don't know when it's going to come out. By this Danish director, and it's like a like real like kind of like you know realistic style, drama like dramedy kind of thing. Uh-huh. But it's not kind of Larry. Then again, I also did a film called "Believe the Dance," which is a dance comedy horror sci-fi film.
That sounds awesome.
Which has been touring around.
That's you're in it or you
I
created
actually,
it?
I
or
actually,
both?
The dance horror comedy sci-fi film,
right.
I associate produced and I'm actually in it as well.
Uh-huh.
One of my friends from theater school is Norwegian.
Uh-huh.
And the Norwegian government was like, hey, you guys want to make a film? Like, here, have a lot of money. So we went over to Norway, and we shot this film in a bunch of fjords, and now it's won a bunch of awards, and we basically travel around and go promote it. But it's believe it or not, I look just like Larry in it, because he was like...
Larry looks a lot like you.
That's true.
Do you always have a mustache? Is Larry always
no,
has a
I
mustache?
No, I usually have a beard, actually, and what I do is I grow my beard out, and then when we're going to film Larry stuff, I just shave off the rest of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, much to the chagrin of my wife.
She likes the beard?
She likes the beard, does not like the mustache.
I'm eating his hot salty nuts.
Crunch, I'm so crunch, glad crunch. I'm so glad you're
right. That they're in my mouth.
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
See, it's endless humor from that bag of nuts.
How'd you make those?
Oh, that's a good question.
Actually, I have a funny story about, it's not exactly this recipe, but the website Food52, I created a Larry profile for that,
I
put Larry's salty nuts recipe on there.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, apparently a bunch of their members complained because Larry said that, you know, if you cook the nuts too long, they're going to turn black. And Larry doesn't like to put black nuts in his mouth.
Oh, my
and
God.
The people at Food 52 were like, they were like, yeah, this isn't really our thing. Mm. So I wrote them an apology email saying that, you know, I was really sorry and that no one has ever complained about the taste of my nuts. And then I'm sure if they put them in their mouth that they would agree that they were really good. And then I told Amanda Hesser that I thought she was really great in Julie and Julia.
Did they reply?
Yes, they did. They were like, they were basically like.
Did Amanda reply?
I don't know if it, no, I think it just said from the editors at Food 52, but they were basically like, all right, thanks for taking it down. Amanda says thanks.
No way, really?
Yes. That was like my only.
But you could also do profile. Has Larry have a profile at any other? Like you could do Serious Eats or. Oh my God, you should be All Over Eater.
He doesn't have any other profiles. See, basically, when the Food 52 was like, you're not really our what we're going for, I was kind of like, you know what? I think this we may have to branch out and do our own. Our own thing. But anyway, to make those nuts, you take like half a cup of bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's more like a cup of bourbon, about half a cup of sugar, and like 2 tablespoons of butter. You bring it all to a boil, reduce it, and like turns into like kind of like sandy goo. And then you dump the nuts in, you stir it up, and then you throw in like a teaspoon or two of like fleur de sel, and then you pour them on a baking sheet.
That's Do you it. Sell these on your website?
Does Larry have a website?
Larry does. Larry has a website called scrumptiousdelicacies.com, but he's in the process of building a new one.
I can't believe Larry's website has the word scrumptious in it.
He's changing it to thefoodpornstar.com.
No, Scrumptious Delicacies is perfect.
It's but when you tell people no one knows how to spell it, they're like,
scrumptious,
what is...
that's true. Or, maybe I got Scrumptious
that's
Delicacies.
That's true. I mean, I'm not going to give up... Larry's not going to give up the name, so...
Is foodpornstar.com already taken?
Well, foodpornstar.com is, but I bought thefoodpornstar.com.
Oh, nice.
Okay, cool.
If you go to foodpornstar.com, you're probably going to regret it. Or actually, you may not regret it. But
have you been to it?
Well, yeah. If you want to buy a domain name, you have to see if it's available. So I Googled foodpornstar.com.
Right.
It's like, it wasn't even anything clever. It was just like a bunch of like pointers to like porn sites. And I was like, well, I'll try foodpornstar.com. And that was available.
We were almost out of time. And so but first of all, I cannot believe that there was not another food porn star. God damn. But that's just so amazing to me. You're a genius. Okay. And then before we leave, you should tell everyone how they can see Larry in action. On that website, are all your clips up there?
Actually, the best way, if you want to watch Larry's reviews of the world's best restaurant bathrooms,
yes,
or watch the films that were in the New York and Chicago food film festivals, the best way to watch them is all on Larry Caldwell's YouTube channel. It's just Larry Caldwell.
And you can Google that?
Yes, you can Google that. If you just Google Larry Caldwell,
yeah, it does come
it's
up.
Spelled C-A-U-L-D-W-E-L-L, not A-L-D. So,
oh, whoa.
Yeah. Okay. And Larry's also on Twitter.
Oh, good. I was going to ask that.
At Larry Caldwell.
At Larry Caldwell. Not at Food Porn Star.
You know, I should grab. No one sign up for that, all right?
Really?
Okay. Someone knows. Someone must have at
You can
Food
do it while we're
Star.
Sitting here.
We'll go find them and kill them.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. This has been another edition of Meet Your Maker. You've met a bipolar maker.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today.
Thanks for listening.